Blog Talk Radio.
الحمد لله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we are glad to have this opportunity to speak with you this morning. Just briefly to let you know, Yolanda and I are presenters on our session and program today. Actually, the start time is scheduled for like 8:25 Pacific time. So, therefore, all we're going to do on Clear Understanding this morning is just play the Jummah from yesterday, and there won't be any commentary conversation afterwards. We'll be on the other platform at that time, inshallah. So thank you so much. Alhamdulillah, after the broadcasting of the recording is done, that will be it for today. Thank you so much. Inshallah, we have another opportunity to interact. So now we'll just play the Jummah from yesterday, and that when it ends, that will be the end of this morning's broadcast. Thank you. May Allah's peace, mercy, and blessings be on you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, all unqualified praise is due to Allah. Thumma alhamdulillah, and after that, all unqualified praise is due to Allah. Alhamdulillah, alladhi anzala alayna kitabu mubeen. All unqualified praise is due to Allah, who sent down upon us His book most clear. Wa kana akhru ma nazala min ayatihi, and revealed as His last ayah. اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمت ورديت لكم الإسلام الدين. This day have I perfected for you your way of life, have completed my favor upon you, and have preferred for you al-Islam as your way of life. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. We bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment. There is no deity, no object of worship except Allah. له الملك. His is the kingdom. وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ. To Him is due all unqualified praise. بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرِ. In His hand is all good. وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And He has power over all things. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. And we bear open and sound testimony without reservation, hesitation, or embarrassment that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is his slave servant and his messenger. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barak ala Sayyidina Muhammad. O Allah, send your prayers, your peace, and your blessings upon our leader Muhammad wa ala alihi and upon his family wa ashabihi and upon his companions ajma'in, all of them. Wa ya ayyuhal muslimun, and to you, O Muslims, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa jumu'ah mubarak. Alhamdulillah. أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها صدق الله العظيم. Allah the Mighty has spoken the truth. These verses are 7 through 10 of Surah Al-Shams, chapter 91, and an expression of it is by the soul and the place given to it in the system and its enlightenment as to what would benefit it and what would harm it. Blessed is he, or he succeeds, who causes it to grow, and he fails who neglects or corrupts it. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. There's a report from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It said Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, he relates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam drew a rectangle, and in the middle of it he drew a line lengthwise. The upper end of it protruded, that is the line, the upper end of it protruded beyond the rectangle. Across the middle line he drew a number of short lines. He indicated that the figure represented man, that the encircling rectangle was death, the middle line stood for his desires, and the short lines across it were the trials and tribulations of life. He, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, if one of these lines misses him, he falls victim to one of the others. And the understanding is, an understanding I should say, is that trials and tribulations, they may or may not happen in your case in some particular. There is going to be trials and tribulations for everyone. But there's one that is certain for everyone, and that's death. Death. All of us are going to have to face that ultimate time. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So today we continue with a little bit of a shift on the subject, taqwa and the game of life. Taqwa and the game of life. And it is the 13th segment of this subject. And I'll try to give some reinforcement for things that some of you may not have been here present for when we covered it, so as to understand the significance of it. The first is just understanding what game is. When we speak about what game is in our conversation, it basically is talking about whatever is being done, whatever it is that you're aiming at, whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish. And since we're talking about the game of life, we're talking about the game of life, then of course we're talking about the aim of life, okay? And so I wanted to give that picture, because we're shifting to focusing on taqwa more so right now, and I never know, you know, how long this is going to go. So it's like you and me riding together. It's like, okay, I don't know, when is this going to end? I don't know. Insha'Allah, I pray that there's benefit every time. That's the plan. So if you want to know what the game is, then you have to know what the aim is. If you want to know what the game is, then you have to know what the aim is. All right? I'm using phrases like this to make it easy to remember, right? Because in life, you're not playing just one game. you're playing many games. And life is serious, so even though we use this term play, game, etc., it's all serious. So we're using those actually in a very scientific way, actually. So in terms of recognizing why is it's significant for us to recognize that your life is not just one game. The game of life is not just one game. For every name, there's a game. For every name, there's a game. What do you mean? What am I? I'm a father. Well, there's a father game. What am I? I'm a husband. So there's a husband game, you know, and everything else that goes along. I'm an imam. So there's an imam game, all right? Whatever. You're a business person. There's a business game. You're a teacher. There's a teacher game, right? You're a friend. There's a friend game. You're a brother. There's a brother game. Do you understand? For every name, there's a game. It's very, very important, you know? So, for example, you might think about right now something of what are your names, whatever it might be. You may be a mother. You may be a father. All right? So maybe you're having some issues with your children, right? So that's inside of the parent game. There's the parent game, right? Oh, man, I got a problem in the parent game. Okay, so then you need to know, okay, what's the play? What's the X's and O's for this situation? Y'all know what I mean when I say X's and O's. You know, what's the plan? What's the strategy? What's the tactic? What should I be doing, right? That's what you have to know. Now, that being said, for every game, Al-Islam has something to teach us and guide us to in it. So I just talked about the parent game. So if it's a parent-child situation, okay, well then the go-to model is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's where you go to find, not Dr. Phil. You go to Muhammad. You go to the Quran. Muhammad is the Quran living. Okay, so I mentioned the prophet first, but then also there may not be, in your instance, but there's definitely going to be an abstract. There's definitely going to be some larger picture, principle, paradigm to focus on. But maybe in your particular case, maybe you may not be able to find explicitly in the life of the prophet that particular situation as you define it. But you at least are going to have in principle, you're going to have in principle what should be done in terms of that, or rather, which direction you should go in. But let's move on. I don't want to spend a lot of time there. So just understand, in order to know what the game is, then you have to know what the aim is. All right, since we're talking about the game of life, then we're also saying, what's the game of life? Oh, pardon me, what's the aim of life, right? Now, once we understand what the aim of life is, okay, now you're playing the game of life, right? Now, here's something that's true for all games for as far as us as human beings, as conscious human beings. It's a movement through four phases. Now, mind you, the parent game, the father game, the husband game, the business person game, the imam game, the whatever. I want you to really understand, this is universal what I'm speaking of. In every one of them, you have to move through four phases. You have the unconscious incompetent, meaning there's a time where you don't know and you don't know what you don't know. And we all start that way with everything, right? For example, and that's why we got to thank Allah for if our firstborn is blessed, if our firstborn has anything, I think we have some folks in here with some firstborns. It's like, man, we didn't have the manual for that. We did not have the manual for that. Here come the baby. We got the baby. Now what do I do? Right? So if our firstborn still have anything to do with us, we got to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we were certainly unconscious, incompetent at that, if you're honest with yourself, okay? But then you grow, right? When you grow, now you have to move to the next level. The next level is conscious incompetent. Conscious incompetent. What is that? Conscious incompetent means that, okay, I know what I'm supposed to do, but I made a mistake right there. So I know what I'm supposed to do, meaning I got the technical skill, competency there, but then in terms of what I was supposed to do in a particular moment, I failed to do that, and I recognized that, oh, I was wrong. Oh, I made a mistake, and this is the mistake that I made. Okay, well, at least you're not at the unconscious incompetent level. You're at the conscious incompetent level. Yeah, that was incompetent, and I know it was incompetent. You don't have to tell me. I know it was incompetent. Conscious incompetent. So I'm conscious of my incompetence. Whereas before, I was incompetent and I was unconscious of my incompetence. Now I am conscious of my incompetence. I've grown, but I'm still at that level. There's a master in martial arts in the audience right now. I'm not going to mess with him. I might need him to take care of you without you knowing. But yeah, in order to get to the level of mastery that he achieved, then he has to move through all these levels. You come in, you don't know what you're supposed to be doing. Then somebody teaches you, and then you practice, and then the teacher watches you, and then when the teacher says it, yeah, you got the right idea, but it wasn't high enough, wasn't low enough, wasn't hard enough. You're looking in the wrong direction, whatever the case may be. So that's where you are at the level of conscious income. But then you have to move from conscious incompetence to conscious competence, right? Conscious competence is the level where you know what you need. Oh, driver's training. I always like to use driver's training. Some of us took driver's training in some of those trailers. I see y'all old enough to they had those trailers they would bring to the high school, and they had the little setup with a video and a steering wheel. And it's like everybody's in the class like a typing class, but everybody got their little driving thing, right? So the situation is that you have to know what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to do it. And so you have come to a level of conscious competence where you know it, but then if you don't pay attention, which is a big deal, if you don't pay attention at a given moment to everything that you're supposed to do, then you're back to the level of conscious incompetent. But you want to get to the level where, okay, I know what I have to do. I practice, so I got it straight. So I'm a conscious competent, which means that I can't stop being conscious of everything I have to do or I'm going to make a mistake, even though I don't make mistakes when I pay attention. But if I, a moment of distraction, all right, it's a problem, right? I've fallen down a level. But when you get to the level of conscious competence, and if you keep practicing, keep applying, keep practicing at that level, then you get to the point where you have the unconscious competence. I got to use the example. I know we got some Lakers fans in here, but I know that y'all, y'all been listening to what's being said about them nowadays. You're watching the numbers. Those of you who do pay attention that way, I just have to use examples that I think that are out there. So the idea. So you got Steph Curry. That's where I'm going with that. Like Steph Curry, do you think he is an unconscious competent in 3-point shooting, et cetera, et cetera? He is like the most gifted shooter that God created. That's what I hear people say, right? So do you think he's definitely not at the unconscious incompetent level. He's definitely not at the conscious incompetent level. He's not even at the conscious competent level. He throws stuff up there without even thinking about it. You don't even wait to see it go through the hoop. And he's like, okay. I'm back on the other end, right? Yes, obviously I'm a fan, right? So the point is that is unconscious competence. Let's go back to the martial arts. Bruce Lee, unconscious competence. Unconscious, don't have to think about it. It's automatic, muscle memory, it's automatic, reflexive, et cetera, automatic. So we're just using those examples, sports, athletics, et cetera. But it happens in all other skill areas as well. All right, so what game are we playing? Parent game, father game, imam game, businessman game, teacher game? What's the game? And where are you on that level? Are you unconscious incompetent? Are you conscious incompetent? Are you conscious competent? Or are you an unconscious competent? When you get to the level of the unconscious competence, that's mastery, right? And just, you know, for information's sake, the numbers say that you don't become an expert until you have done that thing in that way for 10,000 hours. 10,000 hours, okay? So 10,000 hours in common terms is 5 years, 40 hours a week. 5 years, 40 hours a week. So hopefully we've been doing something that is of use and of value at least for 5 years, 40 hours a week. That I'm just saying whether you're on the job or not, the point is doing that particular thing in that way. If you have been doing that, you say practice makes perfect, but in reality, perfect practice makes perfect. Now, some people can be practicing something for, 10,000 hours of doing it wrong. It's like, okay, 10,000 hours of doing it wrong. You're really good at doing it wrong, right? So the point is that that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for that kind of perfection, that kind of excellence, right? So take that to just simply understand. And see, this is taqwa. This is taqwa, right? Taqwa is, are you conscious? Are you conscious of your practice? Are you conscious of what level you're on in whatever that thing is? Listen now, for every name, there's a game. So if you were to sit down, and I do recommend this. If you want to sit down and make a list of all the names that would identify you, and each one of those names would be labels, and they would represent areas that are significant and critical for your life. It is important that I am an A, a B, a C, D, E, F, G, whatever. So you have that list. And then ask yourself, where am I in the game of this, in the game of that, in the game of this, in the game of that, in the game of this? Where am I on these four planes, right? And if you're not as good as you want to be in that particular area, then you know where you have to put in some work. You know where you have to put in time. And those are things we're talking about. Now, everything I said applies to our everyday lives, let's call it our mundane lives. Everything I say applies there. We come to Jummah to understand how it applies to Al-Islam. Because all of those other games, all those other names, and all of those other aims, for us, the overarching womb of it all is Al-Islam. It's Muslim. I'm a Muslim who's a father. I'm a Muslim who's a parent. I'm a Muslim who's in business. I'm a Muslim X and a Muslim Y, right? So whatever it is I'm doing, if I'm an engineer, if I'm a lawyer, if I'm a professor or what have you, I have to always check in and make sure that I'm doing my professorship, I'm doing my business, et cetera, that in a way that is in accordance with the game of Al-Islam that I'm a part of, right? That's critical. So the way to rise in any game, remember, aim, game, name, all of that. So in any of those, you rise through the mastery and the performance and the conformance to the rules of that game. So we say, just as an example, I'm saying, okay, you want to apply what I'm talking about. Let's presume you make that list that I'm talking about. You make that list. These are all the names and the labels that fit me. All right, now I'm going to see, where am I on these scale of four movements in this one? Where am I on this one, and in this one, and in this one? And then you look at where you say, man, I really need to improve that because I can't really call myself truly competent in that area, and that area is important to me. All right, so now you know where you have to spend your time in finding the information about that particular area. So that means parenting, let's say, for example. Parenting. Then I need to do some studying on parenting, right? And for us as Muslims, in the metagame, Al-Islam, the first place you look for parenting advice is the Quran. What does the Quran give as parenting advice? Right?
in the marriage game. What does Quran give as advice in marriage? All right? You're starting there, right? And then, of course, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being the Quran in the flesh, then you look at Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Say, okay, Muhammad, he's a parent, right? As a parent, how was he? As a husband, how was he? As a business person, how was he? Etc. Get that information, right? And so now you know the rules. You'll get some ideas about what the rules are. And then what you do after that is practice. Move from unconscious, incompetent, conscious, incompetent, conscious, competent, unconscious, competent. That's the goal. You want to be that kind of father, husband, parent, business person, blah, blah. Hope you got it because we're moving on. So we talked about the aim. So in the game of life, for any of those roles that we talked about, it means to grow through those levels, and it means to grow now. All the things that we've been talking about, you have to do that in the face of the trials of life. Okay, let's go back to martial arts, right? So somebody, you know, you learn, my limited knowledge of it is kata, right? Kata. So you learn this form, right? So you learn the form, and that's good. So you're in the dojo, and you do, kya! Okay. But now you're walking out of Burger King, and then somebody getting at you in not a good way, right? You can't say, wait, I got to get into my form. No, it don't work like that, man. You got to stay ready so you have to get ready, right? So the point is you can learn that, but now you have to know how to apply that. Okay, in the game of life, listen, you have to be, these different labels, right? You have to be a father. You have to be a parent. You have to be a brother. You have to be a business person. You have to be whatever you have to be, and everything else is still going on. You can't say, okay, y'all, stop that, because I'm trying to be this. No. Life doesn't wait and say, okay, problem sitting down over there. So, okay, you finish? I'll come in after you finish. I'm good. Don't worry. It's just problem talking. No. Don't work like that. You're going to have a problem over here, problem over here, problem over here, problem over here. And you still have to achieve in whatever game is the concern. Whatever the game, you choose the name, that's the game, and you have to do it in the midst of trials. An illustration would be also welding underwater. Right? You gotta weld it, but you have to weld underwater. It's been done, but if you don't know how to do it, then you have to get the knowledge of how do you weld underwater. It's like you can't make the ocean go away. It's like you got to know how to do it underwater. Okay, well, that's the aim of the game of life. You have to do all the things that I'm speaking of in all the games that I've mentioned, games for which you have a name. You have all that multiplicity of things have to be done in the midst of the trials of life that come to you, whatever, unbidden. It's like, so you might get up from here, pick up the phone, you got a text that you hadn't listened. Oh, man, not good news. But the point is that life goes on. So you still have to know, okay, then how do I respond to circumstances like this and still do all the other things that I have to do? That's life, brother and sister. That's life. And this is why we have to be in touch with Al-Islam in the best way, right? You have to know what's the go-to. Where do you start when you don't know where to start? Where do you start when you don't know where to start? The first place, if you're truly in that kind of first place, you should go to the prayer rug. I think everybody got that, right? First place, you should go to the prayer rug. Just go to the prayer rug. I don't know what you guys said. Just go. Just go. Just go. Because certainly if you don't know what to do, then I had a gentleman who was a very, very supportive of the community, you know, quote unquote, a person of means, helping us in the community, et cetera. And he made a statement during one of our conversations that you don't want to do anything in the dark. You don't want to do anything. And what he's meaning is you're thinking about a strategy of what it is that you should do under circumstance X, Y, or Z. He said, whatever you do, don't act in the dark. Don't get the lights on first. Then you're in a better situation. So similarly, if things are so confusing where you literally don't know what to do, that's absolutely the first place you should go, to the prayer rug. When you go to the prayer rug, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, will enlighten you. And I believe there are people in this room, in this situation, where you had something you were dealing with, and like as soon as you put your foot on the prayer rug, boom, there's the answer. I know somebody's had that experience. I know I have. I don't think I'm unique in that regard. Allah is so merciful in that regard. Okay, so now, taqwa, the way that we're speaking of it, and we'll continue to speak of it here, is just a real quick list. Regardfulness, attention, consciousness, okay? That's what taqwa is on first order. I'm talking about on a concrete level. Pay attention. Pay attention. Being conscious. Being alert. Being regardful. Right? You know, a simple definition of taqwa to know. I was thinking about adab. Adab is a part of it. But taqwa is this consciousness, paying attention. Now, we open with the verse, وَنَفْسٌ وَمَا سَوَاهَا فَأَلْحَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا, said, by the soul. One translator says, but in the proportion of order given to it, Imam Muhammad tells us, رَحِمَ that سِوَاهَا, also, خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى وَقَدَّرَ فَهَدَى, سَوَّى can also be read as the system, a place within the system. A place, everything has a place. In the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything has a place. Okay? Taqwa enables us to know what's the proper place for our thing. So, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَاهَا, by the soul and its place within the system. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا, and its enlightenment. The soul is pre-enlightened. I don't know. What I'm thinking. Commercial world, preloaded gift cards or something like that. You know what I'm saying? The preloaded gift card is like, okay, just give the card, go, take it, use it. The soul has been enlightened as to what? Everything that would benefit it, everything that would harm it. The soul. But what is the problem? We are unconscious of what Allah has put in our soul from the beginning. We talk about being restored to the original factory settings about things, right? Being restored to the original factory settings, it means that whatever it was when it came out of the box, that's what it's going to go back to. Do you understand that that's what we are actually trying to do as Muslims? We're trying to get back to our original factory settings. Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to us, He says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ التَّقْوِيمِ, we created a human being in the most excellent mold and structure. ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ, then they fall to the lowest of the low. They lose that design. But what is it? Adam slipped. Adam forgot. There are things that we have become just by the nature of us as human beings that we are unconscious of. We are unconscious of our original makeup. We are unconscious of what Allah put in our nature. Allama Adam al-asma'a kullaha. Help him out right here. The area in the back is for that purpose. And those of you, once you make your sunnahs, you should come up and sit in the area here so that people won't walk past that area. Think about it. Y'all going to make me go there, right? If you've made your sunnahs there, do it and then come sit up here.
Okay, brother.
We're all right. There's a lesson in order, but let's not focus on that right now. So where are we at? So we talked about Allama Adam al-asma'a kullaha. Adam was taught the knowledge of the nature of all things. That's in our nature. So when the Quran says فَأَلْحَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا, Quran is telling you, what is that? What is the knowledge of the nature of all things that Allah taught Adam? It's what is in your soul. It's what is in your soul. See, listen, if you don't believe that, what do you believe? If you're, okay, I don't know, but okay. No. You and I, as human beings, as creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as unique creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have, each and every one of us, the knowledge of the nature of all things in our soul, and the soul is enlightened to it. But it's what the world puts in us that covers that reality up for us, and we're thinking through the mind that the world gave us, which is a barrier between us and the nature that God created in us, so therefore we are unenlightened with regard to that particular nature. So the idea is taqwa is elevated, qad aflaha man zakaha, that the elevation of that knowledge into your consciousness, being aware of the knowledge that Allah has put in your nature, blessed is he that causes that to grow. When you cause your taqwa to grow, your awareness, your regardfulness, your knowledge, your competence of and in the nature that Allah has put, the knowledge that Allah has put in your nature, that's where your power is. That's where your power is. And let's go ahead and finish this part of the khutbah. When you look at, closing analogy, a well. I want you to think about a well. And you take a bucket, right? Lower the bucket down in the well. The bucket is filled up. And then when you bring the bucket up, what do you bring? You're bringing up what you got when it was down there. Our nature, brother and sister. Don't think about me. I know there was a little, you know, we just had a moment, but don't. This is taqwa. For example, this is right now is taqwa. If you think about the wrong thing at the wrong time, then you don't get the benefit where you are. Oh, this morning, myself. I know I said I was finished, but this morning I was trying to get something worked out, and I could just hear myself complaining. I mean, I'm listening to myself. I mean, cussing and a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. Because it was something very important that I, you know, in my view at that point in time, and then all this technology that was involved that wasn't working the way you need to update this, you need to do this, do you really want to allow this? Then I said to myself, look, you need to follow your own advice, homie. It's like, take a breath. Calm down. You have to do it. You're not going to accomplish what you want to accomplish unless you get through this. So you're not making any progress by feeling and fuming that way. So why don't you just shut that down and do what you have to do in order to get to where you have to go? I did that. And shortly thereafter, it was solved. It wasn't going to get solved without that. So I'm saying taqwa at all times and at every moment is being aware of what sensitivities are at work in me right now. What way of thinking is driving my focus right now? Because if I focus on the wrong thing, then I miss the benefit that's inside the system, right? So let that be the matter we conclude within this portion. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلم تسليم. اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد والحمد لله رب العالمين. الله أكبر. الحمد لله. بسم الله. The bucket. We're talking about salat. I want you to, even like right now. Go ahead. Take a deep breath. I'm gonna take a deep breath. Hold it a little bit. And then just let it go. And do it again. Consciousness, right? You want to have the best brain waves operating in you. Brother and sister, all of us, this is not happy rhetoric, you know, no disrespect, you know, Les Brown talk, you okay? All of us, Allah has blessed all of us with the knowledge of the nature of all things. It's in our soul. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Our soul knows, oh, Fahim, that's not good for you. Fahim, oh, that's good for you. But if Fahim has a mindset that blocks the soul's conversation, the soul is trying to tell me something, but I'm busy over here. My mind is paying attention to something else over there. Listen to this phrase we'll get to, I don't know, sometime as we go. Inattentional blindness. I didn't say unattentional or unintentional. I said in, that's not, attentional, not paying attention, and therefore you're blind to it. Come on, husbands and wives. I've seen movies like this. I know it never happened to anybody here. Hey, I've seen movies where a guy come home one day and his wife hit him with, I'm not happy. And you know he done paid all the bills. Hey, you're driving the latest model Cadillac. Look at the zip code that we're living in. We have, look at this house. But I'm not happy. Well, I mean, that's blow-away territory right there. But what was it? Maybe it was inattentional blindness. You were paying attention to all that it took to buy that car, all that it took to buy that house, all that it took to move up the career ladder in your office, but you weren't paying attention to me. And I went alone. I'm speaking as her now. I went alone. But I can't take it no more. And it's like blindsided to him. It's like, after all I've done, inattentional blindness. Listen, take your soul as your wife. Take your soul as your wife. And the soul will tell you, look, this is what I need and this is what I don't need. Blessed is he that causes it to grow. So the idea is paying attention to
what your soul communicates to your mind. Listen, I say it that way. You know how I talk. Listen, personality. Your personality is your personal reality. We all have brains. Your personality is the customization of your brain. Your brain is the house of your personality. If you have a personality that doesn't respect the reality of your soul, then your personality ignores your soul. And by ignoring the soul, you don't know what to watch out for. You don't know what you're going after that would hurt you or what would benefit you. So when you pray, here's what's happening. When you pray, your awareness, the bucket, let the bucket be your awareness. When you pray, your awareness gets deeper and deeper and deeper. That's on a daily basis, but then also on a habitual basis, meaning that there are certain people who live at a certain level because their prayer is at a certain level in terms of habit. They've gotten their prayer so much so that it's so much closer to their inherent potential. Why? Because of the strength of their prayer. And those who pray more, they get closer and closer and closer in access to that fitr, to that nature. So much so that the soul can communicate with that mind, and that mind is able to gain from their soul some of that enlightenment that is in their nature. But those who don't pray or pray less or pray improperly, they don't get closer and closer and closer to that potential. Even though my example is showing you going down, that is actually growth. The deeper you get into awareness of your nature, the more you are growing. And the more you grow, the more you succeed. Grow in what? In the awareness of your soul telling you what's benefiting you, what's harming you. If you have a soul that will tell you, Fahim, you need to let that go because that's hurting you. But then if I ignore my soul, then the soul pretty soon stops talking. All right? So for today, just let it be understood that in achieving life's possibilities, it grows to the extent that we grow in awareness of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in our soul and learning how to apply that to our everyday lives, to all the aims, to all the names, to all the games. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم أنت ربي لا إله إلا أنت خلقتني وأنا عبدك وأنا على أهلك وعدك ما استطعت أعوذ بك من شر ما صنعت أبو لك بنعمتك علي وأبو لك بذنبي فاغفر لي إنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت Allah, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. We beg for your aid. We beg for your assistance. We beg for the consciousness that you would have us have. Oh Allah, bless us to understand more and to come closer to our original nature, because we know that that is our way of life. And as you have told us, most men don't understand that. Oh Allah, bless us to be among those who know. Bless us to be among those who understand. Bless us to be among those who practice what we proclaim. Oh Allah, without your aid and assistance, we have no aid and assistance. Oh Allah, there is no object of worship but you. Without you, we are nothing. Without you, we have no hope. Without you, we have no power. Without you, we have no guidance. Without you, we have no protection. Without you, we have no direction. Oh Allah, Bless us to never, ever sever and distance ourselves from a profound and deep relationship with you. Oh Allah, we need you. We don't need the world. We need you. We don't need anything but you. And without you, we are lost and helpless. Oh Allah, guide us and help us. Ameen, Allahumma ameen. Wa akimus salat.